Very good morning, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We continue our study on the book of 1 Corinthians, especially 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And I hope that you remember 1 Corinthians chapter 4 very well, because this is the chapter that will help us. If you know of any brother or sister or anyone who has a broken fellowship, a broken relationship, this is the chapter to use to help them heal, to help them stop their schism, to help them to forgive, and to have the right understanding of ourselves as well as of one another in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how important 1 Corinthians chapter 4 is. And so we continue our study. Last week, the Apostle Paul said, that's how he looked at himself, as the offscouring, the scum of the earth, as losers, as fools for Christ. Compare and contrasted with the carnal Corinthian Christians who evaluated themselves based upon the material standard. They were rich financially, materially, but they never realized that what God looks for is not in the material, but in the spiritual. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, we all need to have the right estimation of ourselves so that our relationship with one another can always bring glory to the Lord. When you see yourself as nothing, as the dust below the mat, you know, some people say, how can Christian become the doormat of others? Paul says, you should be the dirt below the doormat. To be a doormat is still not humbled enough. And when you have this understanding of who you are, and that's who we are in Christ, isn't that true? Remember, we are bound by sin. We are bound for hell after death if we were to die in sin. Now, how low can that get? To be found in hell, to be burning in intense pain and gnashing of teeth without end. That was our destination because of our manifold sins against one another and against God. And then God reached out and spared us from all these because of Jesus Christ. Out of grace, out of mercy, which we know we don't deserve because there's nothing good in any one of us. And God, the creator of heaven and earth, the one living and true God, looks down into your life and chose you, saved you. And therefore, to now live for Him as the scum of the earth for Jesus' sake is an honor, is a privilege that we all must have as our badge of humility. So that we will have no problem with all our heart. If there is a strained relationship between me and my brother, me and my sister, we have no problem going to the person and say, I am sorry, please forgive me. Don't go around and turn around and say, why must I say sorry first? God came down from heaven first. Jesus Christ came down from heaven to save you first. Can you not now do something first for His life, for His sake, so that people may see the humility that you have in Christ, instead of holding on to your pride and wait for the other person to say sorry, the other person waiting for you, and both parties are now at odds for how many years already? All because of pride. And what kind of image do we show to our friends and family members and loved ones about what Jesus Christ has done for you? Absolutely shameful. Shameful. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, see ourselves as dirt and dust. But he also knows that as human beings, we have this tendency to also imitate people. He knows that. We all learn by imitation since birth. This parent was sharing with me one day about his toddler, maybe about 4 or 5 years old. He was at home, and where they stay, there is this roundabout. And he cannot stand visitors or people who live in this same vicinity as he did, driving their car very fast, and then at the roundabout, they screech very loudly. The car will screech and make that kind of irritating noise and very dangerous to the children who live in that area. And so at that point in time, in anger, he uttered to his wife. Idiots again, driving and playing the fool out there. Idiots. And so one day he was driving with his wife and his toddler at the back in the car seat. Then a car jammed brake at the bus stop. Cheat! Then the daughter at the back. Dad, that's an idiot there. He never realized that what comes out of his mouth fell on the ear of the daughter. Does the daughter know what's an idiot? Of course she doesn't. She just imitated the father. When parents pray with the children, and then the child has now grown up to a toddler, maybe 6, 7 years old, slightly older, and then the teacher asks this child, pray for the class before we begin our lesson. How do you think the child will pray? The child will pray just like mommy, just like daddy. And so you want to know how children pray at home, or whether parents pray for their children? During Sunday school, ask the child to stand up and pray. And you will hear how the parents have taught their children to pray, or how the parents have not taught the children to pray. And when the child stands up, stuttering and doesn't know how to pray, doesn't even know how to address God, you will know that these parents have not taught their children how to pray. If the parents have been teaching their children to pray before they go to school, before they go to sleep, before they eat their meals, what do you think will happen? Day in, day out, 365 days of the year, 3, 4, 5 times a day for 365 days of their entire life. You think the child will not imitate and learn something? They will learn a whole lot. The good, the bad, the ugly. Imitation. That's we are. When I was dating my wife, okay, after we got married, we used to boil our water. And then we will let the water cool down and the jug will be without a cover. And she will use a damp piece of cloth and then cover it on top. When I was growing up, we used a different kind of jug. My mom never used a wet cloth. But since I got married, and since the kitchen is my wife's domain, and this is what she wants to do, fine, I'm okay with it. Then I went to her sister's home, also got married, and in the sister's home, practically all of them had the same kind of jug with a wet cloth on top. I think they learned from mommy, from their mother. But when I visited their brother's home, don't have. How come? Well, because the brothers marry other women, so the women will learn from their mother the pattern. You see, we learn and imitate a lot of things. Sometimes you don't even realize it. You drink. Should you be shocked when your children drink? You smoke. You hide your smoking. You think your children are dummies? They can smell the smoke in your breath. And you may try to mask it and cover it. They can see the paraphernalia that you use for your smoking. And so when they go to the army, they do not smoke when they enter the army. And then when they enter the army, their buddies will tell them, come, have one cigarette, have this, have that. What do you think will happen when they remember, well, daddy smokes, mommy smokes. You must be okay. Now that I'm grown up, I'm a man now, sure, it should be all right. They learn, they imitate. That's the way we are, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Some, when they imitate, may be inconsequential, like the mug covering with a wet piece of cloth, to keep away the flies, to keep it clean. Fine. But there are others that can be very, very damaging. And when you translate this into the spiritual realm, it is even more damaging when we do not have the right kind of person to follow, to imitate. The problem in the church was not to imitate. Paul knows that we will imitate. Throughout the scriptures, he has been telling them, make sure that you imitate correctly, because now we have the Spirit of God in us. Our life now must reflect only one person, and that is Jesus Christ. Nobody else. You, as a child of God, must reflect the Savior. I also the same. All of us the same. And if all of us want to promote Christ, you and I will have unity. The world out there, each and everyone out there promotes self. And every self is unique and different from the next. And that's why there is disunity out there. And when you're home, all of you are believers, and if every one of us imitate Christ, there will be peace in the home. If the husband imitate Christ, if the wife imitate Christ, a blissful, wonderful, happy husband-wife relationship. Likewise, parent-children. Likewise, the siblings. Likewise, with our friends. Likewise, in church. And this is only possible if we are truly born again in Christ with the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And that's why the Apostle Paul in verse 14 warns them of the wrong kind of imitation that had damaged the unity of the church, which has resulted in schism. And that's why he said, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. This is not limited to only chapter 4. Remember, the chapters are all linked. Chapter and verse divisions are artificial. It was introduced much, much later after the completion of the Bible in order for us to have easy reference and cross-references. That's all. The things that the Apostle Paul referred to started in chapter 1. The problem of schism. It's okay to imitate Paul. It's okay to imitate Apollos. It's okay to imitate Cephas. But, excuse me. But don't cross the line into sin, into idolatry, into schism, into hero worship, whereby your blind loyalty to the person that you imitate, and you usually imitate people that you look up to the point whereby you defend them and promote them rather than Christ, to the point where you defend them even when they are wrong. That kind of blind loyalty is deadly, it's destructive to yourself, to others, and most important of all, to the image of Jesus Christ that you bear. Remember, the only name under heaven that can save a sinner out of death and hell is still Jesus Christ. And God has given to all His children the honor and privilege to carry this image with them everywhere they go. The moment they tell people, I am a Christian, it means, look at me, you're going to see the Son of God, the image of Jesus Christ. That's what it means. You listen to my words. You're going to hear the words of the Son of God. You look at my dressing. You look at my behavior and conduct. You're going to see holiness. And my mind is the mind of Christ. And therefore, my desires are controlled by the mind of Christ. And my motive is the love of God that is sacrificial, that is unconditional. No matter how you may respond and react to me, you may betray me, you may hurt me, I will continue to respond to you with love and in kindness. Because it is the love of God that is unconditional, that has been given to me by God Himself. Now that's what we are to be everywhere we go. And that's why when we imitate people, the moment you are born, you begin to imitate. The moment you are born again, you continue to imitate, but now you imitate in the spiritual realm. So the church you go to will be very important. But if it is the wrong kind of church that have been teaching you the wrong things, you are following and you are imitating all the wrong things, and that's a disaster. And we are living in the last days. And therefore there are more wrong churches, bad churches, that are teaching us the wrong things to imitate, to follow. If you do not know scriptures, you will be duped. Now please understand, ignorance is not an excuse for transgression. If ignorance can be a legitimate excuse for transgression, then all of us would hide behind ignorance. The more ignorant I am, the more I will not be held accountable by God even when I have sinned. I did not know God. You study the book of Leviticus. God required the Israelites who sinned the sin of ignorance to bring the same kind of offerings. Sin offering, burnt offering, etc. The same. Compared to a person who willfully sinned, who knows and then he sinned. It's the same. No difference. Just because you hide behind ignorance, it does not help you at all in bringing shame to the name of Christ. You will still be charged by God for doing so. So the question we have to ask ourselves is this. First and foremost, are you a Christian? Yes or no? If you truly are a Christian, you say you are a Christian. What kind of Christian are you? Who have you followed or imitated in your prayer life? Who have you been imitating in terms of the study of God's word, in terms of keeping the Sabbath day holy? Who have you been imitating? As part of the board of elders, very sadly, we have heard of members who will use deacons and elders who do not attend Sunset Gospel Hour, for example, as an excuse. They use them as their excuse. In other words, they want to imitate them. Why would I come? The deacon doesn't come, the elder doesn't come, and so therefore, why should I come? I also don't want to come. And so now you want to imitate their example. And the example is, they don't want to attend Sunset Gospel Hour. Why? Because they are my leaders, they don't come, I also don't come. Now we are not talking about people who want to come, but they cannot come because of ill health, because of some other legitimate matters. But they could. They very well could. They're just simply not interested and they look around their horizon. Who should I imitate? I don't want to come. So I must look for someone whom I can imitate to justify my not coming. And so they look for these leaders. And so these leaders have now become very good examples for them to hide behind when they stand before God on the day of judgment. How have you been keeping the Lord's Day holy? Oh, the deacon, the elder did not attend, so therefore I did not attend. And you think that will be accepted by God? You do not open the scriptures, you do not study the scriptures. And so you look for people to soothe your conscience who also hardly study the Bible. They don't come for any of the adult Bible classes. They don't come for any of the fellowships. They are not interested other than just simply come to church on Sunday, give their barest minimum, and then they just disappear, and that's it. And so they look for examples, many of them. You look at the church, majority of them don't, and so therefore it should be okay. And those who come late, somehow the problem with lateness is companionship seems to soothe the soul. When I was late in school, if I'm alone, I feel really bad. Then when I look around, some more are coming later than me. I feel better. Does that mean that I'm not late? I'm still late. But somehow it makes me feel better. Hey, that guy is 5 minutes later than me. So my lateness is not so bad. How does this kind of companionship cause me not to be late? I'm still late. But somehow in transgression, we like companionship. And so when I'm late for service, he's later. I am perpetually late. He is also perpetually late. And so I have friendship. I have kinship. I have buddies. And so not a problem. Not a problem before God. You must be kidding. That's why, who are you imitating? You have out there, you have people in your life, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Paul warns us, don't imitate the ugly. Don't imitate the bad. Imitate only the good. You bear the image of Christ. Either you bear him correctly, where people look at your life, they become believers because they see Christ in your life. And when you share the gospel, the impact of the gospel is enhanced because of your holy witness. In contrast to someone who shares the gospel and then he bears a bad witness, he's selfish, he's a liar, and he is lazy. I don't want to believe in this kind of Christ that will bring this kind of disciples. Why must I accept Christ? I am more hardworking than you are. I am more diligent than you are. I am even more honest than you are. And you call yourself a Christian? I am not a Christian, but I am better than you. Who are you imitating? Whether you like to admit it or not, we are all imitators. Imitate the right person. And that's why Paul says, I'm giving you all this instruction from chapter 1 to warn you about the danger of schism. I gave you the instruction in chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4. All these to warn us. of the danger of the wrong kind of imitation. Please realize and understand we continue to imitate. All of us do. All of us. Without exception. The danger is we imitate wrongly. The wrong people. Because there are more wrong examples than ever before. You go to the internet. You listen to this sermon here, sermon there. And you do not have discernment. You do not know enough of God's word. You listen. You think it is right. You follow. You imitate. That's dangerous. You imitate a person's dressing. You imitate a person's lifestyle without thinking. That's called the fashions of the world. Without thinking. You imitate. That those people who imitate hairstyle without thinking, even though it looks atrocious, that those who imitate people in their dressing, even though it is awful and carnal and sinful because it is skin tight. Why do you want to wear like that to church? Or why do you even have that kind of garment in your wardrobe? Why do you want to imitate the world and then call yourself a Christian? You want to imitate the world? Please, don't call yourself a Christian because it is worse. At least this person who never called himself a Christian, he is like the world because he is the world. But you say you are a Christian. You are a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ. And then you dress like the world, you talk like the world, you think like the world, you behave like the world. You are worse than this person because this person lives in sin, but he doesn't dirty and bring shame to the name of Christ. You live in sin, but you bring shame and dirty the name of Jesus Christ. And you are worse on the day of judgment than that sinner. That's why Paul says, I warn you. I write all these things. It may sound very harsh. It may sound very strong, but it is to warn us of the danger that we are living in because what is at stake, if you're truly born again, it's not your salvation, it's your image of Jesus Christ that Satan loves to damage and distort. Because there is no greater joy that you could ever bring to Satan than for truly born again believers to live in sin and bring shame to the name of Christ. He will have his own soldiers. But these soldiers never call themselves believers. And if they ever do, they are wolves in sheep's clothing. They are pretenders only. And he knows them. And the kind of damage they can do is minimal or nothing compared to those who are truly born again in Christ. And then they become lovers of the world. They allow the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches to grip them and to rob them of the witness of Jesus Christ. They are going to heaven like Lot. There are more Lots today in our churches than Abraham. Lot was truly born again. That's what the epistle said, just Lot. But you look at his life and he is the kind of believers that Satan will pat on the back and approve of and be very happy with. Because they can do the greatest harm and damage for Satan's sake. Against Christ. And he will love you for it. And so please, if you are truly born again in Christ, and if this is your heart, and this is your life, Paul says, I'm warning you. You have to stop it. But imitate correctly. Verse 15 to verse 17. He will teach us how to imitate correctly. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. So Paul is now telling them, God used me to bring the gospel to you. And you all have experienced the power of the transformed life through the gospel. You know the change in you. You know that I have not deceived you. You know that I am a father to you. I'm the one that God used to cause you to be born again by bringing you the gospel for the first time in your life. And that's how this church was founded. And that's how all of you are now children of God in the church in Corinth. But there are many other instructors who have come to teach you after that. But compared to them, please understand that I am your spiritual father. They are not. They are instructors. They are teachers. For they were not the ones that God has chosen to give you the gospel for the first time. And therefore, I care for you. I'm not here to hurt you. I want the best for you, like a father will always want the best for his children. Because subsequently, later on, in both 1st and 2nd Corinthians, false teachers have entered into the church and they tried their best to destroy the Apostle Paul's character. They assassinated him because out of the apostles, he was the only one who was not with Jesus Christ from the very beginning of Christ's ministry on earth. Paul described himself as an apostle who was born out of due time. Nobody attacked Peter's apostleship. Why? Because that would be foolishness. They would never succeed. And on top of that, the Apostle Paul was a very famous and well-known persecutor of the church. And that's why he was a very easy target for Satan, for the enemies of Christ to attack his apostleship. And if they had succeeded, believers like those in Corinth and in other cities that Paul was sent by God to found, their faith would have been devastated, their witness and testimony would be shaken to the core, and his epistles would have been dumped into the dustbin if they had succeeded in attacking his apostleship. And that's why the Apostle Paul, in these epistles, he had to defend it. He had no choice, not for his own sake, but for the sake of their faith and for the name of Jesus Christ and for the cause of Christ. Otherwise, half of the New Testament, because he wrote the most number of epistles in the New Testament, would have to be chucked out if they had succeeded in attacking and undermining his apostleship. Romans would be thrown out. Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and perhaps even Hebrews, because some say that he wrote Hebrews as well. All would have to be thrown out if they had succeeded in undermining and attacking his apostleship. That's why he appealed to them. I am your spiritual father. You are my spiritual children. I will never hurt you. Even if I use strong words, it is to rebuke you for your good, because I love you. I care for you. What kind of father who loves the child will not rebuke the child when the child is wayward? Not to rebuke a child whom you know is wayward is dereliction of duty as a father. And that's what Jesus Christ tells us also in the book of Hebrews regarding God the Father in the revelation of that book, Hebrews 12. Whom I love, I will chastise. That's what God the Father tells us, and that's how we should also relate to one another. And that's what the Apostle Paul is now telling them. You have many instructors, and some of them are good, like Apollos, like Cephas, but others, they are dangerous if they do not teach you the word of God. Now remember, the New Testament was not completed yet. 2 Corinthians was not written. The prison epistles, Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, all these not written yet. And so there are a lot of truth and doctrine that you and I know from the study of the New Testaments. They have not been revealed yet. It was a church in infancy. It was a church that was growing. So therefore, when the Bible was not completed, it was so easy for false teachers to come in, to creep in, and then give their own brand of new teachings. And that's why the Apostle Paul was very concerned and worried, because it has resulted in schism. And so he had to nip this in the bud, and that's why he told them, I'm your father, I will not hurt you. And that's why he says, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. You imitate me. You follow me. You don't listen to the false teachers and their voices and follow them. Did I not bring you the gospel in its entirety? All those who have accepted the gospel that I preach to you, Paul says. Paul reasoned with them. And have your life not been transformed? You know and you've experienced the transformation of the power of the gospel that I brought to you. And if I have done that for you, you think I will now want to hurt you? I want the best for you. I want you to grow into maturity. I want you to become men and women after God's own heart, not to remain as babes in Christ. And that's why he says, be ye followers of me, of course, in chapter 11, verse 1 of the same book. He will add the last phrase, be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. Now, he stated this very clearly in 11:1. Same book. But verse 17 also argues for the same understanding. Even though he did not include the last phrase, be ye followers of me even as I follow Christ, in the second half of verse 16. But in verse 17, he expanded on it and he rephrased it in another manner. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, that is Timothy, whom he will appoint as the pastor of the church in Ephesus sometime in the future, who is my beloved son. You can trust him. And faithful in the Lord. He will not betray you. Now remember, there is no internet, there is no telephone. Everything you see and hear will be on those papyri that they used to write. And that's it. And the person who carries it is very, very important. More important than today, because you cannot just simply pick up the phone and call the Apostle Paul and check. There is no internet. What you see and what you hear from the messenger, when he brings the document, that's all you have. And that's why when the Apostle Paul authenticates Timothy, you can trust him. He will not say or teach you anything that I will not teach you. You can trust him. And that's what he meant. Who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, so that you can imitate. Follow the example of the Apostle Paul. In everything that he did, he argued, he reasoned. And Timothy will tell them the same. And he will bring to remembrance. Look at his life. He was a persecutor. But the Lord saved him. And his life was transformed. And now he will turn his zeal and energy that he once spent in hindering the work of Christ. And now he's going to turn it around and use the same kind of energy and strength and zeal and fervency to promote Christ. You look at his sacrifice. He did not marry, he has no family, and that allowed him to travel from city to city because that was his calling, which he will share in the next couple of chapters, 1 Corinthians 7. Why he considered being singlehood as better than those who are married. He will explain that in chapter 7. And so Timothy will share with the Christians in Corinth about the life of the Apostle Paul. His first mission trip, where he had to endure pain and suffering and stoning and arrest and persecution because of the gospel. Look at his life of sacrifice. He had every right as an apostle to demand certain help, but because he did not, he rather worked in order not to stumble and give ammunition for the false teachers to argue and point fingers at him as if he is now serving for money. So he will do his utmost, and he will share with us in 1 Corinthians 9 that I am prepared to be a slave to everyone, where everyone he will regard them as his master. He will share all these things. And that's why he says, follow me in the manner in which my ways are in Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. Never blind loyalty to anyone, not even the Apostle Paul. Because when you follow the Apostle Paul as he followed Christ, in reality, you are actually following Christ. Isn't that true? Because he is following Christ. And therefore, if you are following Christ in the way that you live your life of holiness, and I also want to live your life of holiness, but because yours is patterned after Christ's teaching, and since I'm following you, and yours is a pattern of Christ, actually, I'm also following Christ. And that's why when we follow, imitate someone who is living a life that is according to scriptures, you are actually also living a life that is according to scriptures by default because of him. And that is what all of us must do. So you have to know scriptures before you imitate blindly. Please don't. That kind of blind following and loyalty will kill the image of Jesus Christ in your life. And it will destroy you as well in the process. And there are a lot of ways that can destroy our witness because we follow people wrongly. When you and I read in the papers of the testimonies of some of the members of City Harvest, when you read and hear from the internet the testimonies of those in some of these charismatic churches, that no matter what their pastors and the pastor's wife may do. They just have blind loyalty. They can't see. Just because these individuals, according to them, have given them some advice to fix certain parts or certain aspects of their lives. And now they are eternally beholden to them. Because so-and-so gave me some advice, and during that particular dark moment and crossroad of my life, he helped me. He helped me. And so now I am forever beholden to him, regardless of what he's doing. Now that was the root cause of schism that Paul wanted to stop. And that's why he knows that we will imitate, even though he warns us. And so he has to teach us how to imitate correctly, because that's the way we grow. That's the way we learn as well. There is no lesson on prayer. People imitate how others pray. And that's why it is so important that chairmen, that pastors from the pulpit, they pray correctly. Because whether you like it or not, consciously or not, you are listening to the prayer and you are also learning to pray the same way. Because that's how your children learn from you. And that's how you learn from others. In other things as well. In the study of God's word, it's the same. You follow the wrong teacher, you study wrongly and you pay the price. You go to the wrong seminary and you do not have discernment, you imitate blindly, you will follow and you're going to become like the blind master that you have imitated. That's the danger that we are living in with the internet world. There's so many out there. Those who play computer games, by and large, if the game that you are playing is not something that is evil and wicked and wrong, there's nothing wrong. It's just like any game that you play, whether it is on the computer or in the field or on the court. It's a game. But when you imitate those people who are addicted and you get hooked by it, you come in the power of it. And that's where the danger has begun in your life. You do not know when to discipline yourself and put a stop to it, because there are so many out there and you are imitating them. You're losing sleep over it. You're playing until the wee hours of the morning, and then your whole life and your witness and your testimony is jeopardized because you have imitated these addicts. You ask yourself, there are so many areas of your life. Area by area, you evaluate them. Who have you been imitating? It has to be Christ. It has to be someone who is imitating Christ that you must emulate. Imitate. Otherwise, if you continue to head in this direction and do not put a stop and turn yourself around and get out of this wrong imitation, it's going to destroy you, because it is already hurting the image of Jesus Christ in that area of your life. Other areas may be fine, but that area of your life is disastrous. Or there are some of you who are very good in imitating others in the church, and you are an example in the church. But you could have a hypocrite, a terrible son, a terrible daughter, a terrible husband, a terrible wife at home. Because you are imitating wrongly in your own house. That area of your life, that needs to fix. That needs to now come under the guidance of God's truth. You now have to look for someone whom you can imitate as a Christian husband, as a Christian wife, as a Christian son, as a Christian daughter, that will point you to Christ. You have to, in order to stop the damage that has already been done by you at home in the lives of the people in your home, who now has been sullied by the false image of Christ that you have been portraying because of the wrong imitation that you now have. It could be your workplace. It could be your school as a student. You have to put a stop to it and fix it and turn it around to minimize the damage, for the damage has already been done. Therefore, know how to imitate others biblically, correctly, and all will be well. Because God knows, when God made us in His image, that we will imitate. Before we were born again, as sinners, we imitated so many wrong people. But now, after salvation, God now has to begin the process of transforming all our aspects, relationships of our lives. And it has to be the right kind of followers, the right kind of imitation. Bit by bit, bit by bit. Would you? Imitate someone. For example, in your attitude toward your study of the Bible. Find someone who you can imitate that will help you have a more biblical way of life in the approach to the Word of God rather than some hit and run, hit and run. In trouble, open the Bible. No more in trouble, close the book. Don't do that. That's a poor, wrong approach to God's Word. How do you pray? Find someone, imitate correctly, and learn so that you will become more and more like Christ in your mind, in your heart, in your words, in your life, in all areas of your life. No area must be sacrificed just to enhance another. You must be Christ-like as a husband, as a wife, Christ-like as a son, as a parent, Christ-like as a student, as an employee, Christ-like as a friend, Christ-like even to those who are your enemies, Christ-like even toward those who are God's enemies. And the Bible has instructions to cover all areas, all scenarios. Imitate correctly so that you will truly reflect the image of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in your life. How great an honor God has bestowed upon us to walk around on this earth carrying with us the image of His only begotten Son. Do it well, dear friends. Wherever you go, let them see Christ. And by your good works, they will glorify God Almighty because of you. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for life, both physical and eternal. Help us, O Lord, as we serve Thee on this earth, that we must only show forth the image of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in all that we do, in all that we say, wherever we are. And we thank Thee, Father, for the many godly men and women whom You have given to us and blessed us with, whom we have imitated, whom we can continue to imitate. And we thank God, O Lord, for each and every one of them, and help us to follow them, even as they follow the Lord Jesus Christ, men who are like the Apostle Paul in their love, in their sacrifice, in their devotion, and in their dedication, and in their zeal and fervency in service. We thank Thee, Lord, for such people. Help us to be like them for Jesus' sake, that we may be godly testimonies for the Lord Jesus Christ wherever we are. For this is our heart's cry and our heart's desire. And I pray, O Lord, that everyone whom You have brought into Thy house this Lord's Day morning may be convicted by Thy truth to examine our lives whom we have been imitating. And if it had been a bad person, help us to stop, help us to turn around and begin to imitate someone who is imitating the Lord Jesus Christ. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory. In Jesus' name, Amen.